You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Nancy Fitzgerald is here from Anchors Away Biblical Worldview Ministry, based in Carmel. I've been making up words all week. Nancy, while you've been gone, I've been doing verbal shorthand. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think it's the medications that I'm on. It's been fabulous. I don't know what carpal is, but that's a new one. I'm going to have to go home and really study that one out, but it's just been nuts. I'm glad you're...
I think you've been hanging around Steve. I think it's Steve.
I think it's because you left. You went across the pond, and my whole world was just shaken. You're back. It's going to be okay. But seriously, Nancy helps our young people really establish a firm foundation in their biblical worldview. That is important, because they need to know what it is they proclaim they believe. They need to know how to defend their worldview, mm-hmm. because if they don't, they're going to be rocked right off it. The enemy is prowling. So let's get to our question.
Well, that question this week, Nancy, is how do Christians turn seekers off? Boy, this is a big one. But our witness counts for something, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, and you talk about Giving Day. You know, every day needs to be a giving day for Christians. And this whole idea of just being that person that's light, it's just everything you've been talking about this morning. You know, but this is a huge question. And as I, being a skeptic, a very serious skeptic, growing up until the age of 32, I was not turned off from Jesus. I didn't even know who he was. But I was turned off because of the Christians that I knew, who were not very loving. They were condescending. They were judgmental. And I just think that we need to understand the number one reason why people stay away from knowing Jesus is because of the Christians. And I think it's just a sad but true commentary on the Christian community. You know, we look at... the Barna latest studies on Christian behavior, only 6% of people are living out their faith with love and respect for others, whether they are believers or not believers. And I think in this day and age, where young people say there is no truth, there is no hope, where anxiety is an all-time high, millions of young people are on antidepressant drugs and this and that and the other, we need to be people that give assurance that there is a God who loves them and can give them the peace that they desperately need. And for such a time as this, we as Christians need to personally step it up. The churches need to step it up as communities. But the Christian, the large Christian church, the Christians itself around the world need to step it up big time. And I think we forget John 13:35, where Jesus specifically says, a new commandment I give you. And, you know, it's not like climbing buildings or whatever. It's I give you to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And the greatest proof of our life is how we live our lives, not only in our own personal little friend groups, but I'm talking about how we live our lives with people we don't know, with people that don't like us, with people that hate Jesus, with people that are sinning like mad, hurting families, this and that and the other, are a reflection of Jesus who loves them, meaning we honor them and we want to listen to them and have a relationship with them so we can share Christ with them, the gospel, the good news. And Romans 12 says, listen, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. that by testing you may discern what's the will of God, what is good and acceptable and pure and perfect. And God's will for us is to love. Seriously, we choose to love. We don't feel love with everybody, but we choose. We just choose to be kind when we don't even feel like it. You know, when it's like getting up on the wrong side of the bed, you're kind of cranky. But we choose. Some days we just have to choose. Right, Kelly?
Oh, yeah, we do. How we do. Okay, Nancy, so I get it that there are things about us as Christians that can put people off in regard to Jesus, in regard to God, in regard to the church. What is it about us? What are we doing? What's the number one thing about us that people cite that they would say, okay, I don't want anything to do with God or the church if that's the way they're going to be? What is it that we're doing that we can stop doing?
Well, I think it's hypocrisy, and there's been a lot written on this, but, you know, hypocrisy in the church is the number one reason people stay away. It's not God, like I said before. And if Christianity is no more than performing for friends in our church or whatever it is, we're pretending to be these pious people and then acting like the world when we're home or at work, then we have to ask ourselves, what difference does it make if we're Christians or not? Why did Christ die and raise again? So we could be hypocritical. So we could be this to this group and that to that group. And the thing is, if we're true believers in Jesus, then through the work of the Holy Spirit, we're called to witness to Christ in all areas of life, you know, at all times, whether we feel like it or not. And this is the big thing. You know, a few years ago, I was at a sporting event, a football game, and my kids went to a public school. Yeah, they were playing against a Christian high school in Indianapolis. And I was sitting with, of course, the public school parents. We were watching this game. And the lack of sportsmanship coming from the parents of this Christian school that were sitting in the bleachers across the field were absolutely outrageous. I've never seen anything like it. You know, they were booing, they were clapping, they were even booing their own players at one point. And, you know, I'm sitting with a bunch of non-believers, and it was what they had to say about the Christians at that point. You know, look at those hypocrites over there, this and that and the other. It's those little things, even at a game or even at work, that truly matter, and that are in fact keeping people from even considering what it would be like to be a Christian and live out our faith. Matthew 7 says this in the same way: every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. If a good tree is not able to bear bad fruit, nor bad fruit good fruit. But every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so that you will recognize them by their fruit. And this is the thing: the fruit of how we live. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to be cranky. We're going to say things to people. We're going to do stuff we shouldn't do. But the Christian is the one that goes to these people and say, you know what? I'm really sorry. I was way out of line. And, you know, just say, I am so sorry. I just want to make it up to you, or we'll talk about it or whatever. But we don't do it. And we're just afraid of that. But I think today we could be encouraged just with that giving sense of what's happening with your radio this morning. Be the givers of forgiveness, be the givers of truth and love. That's our call. It's pretty simple, really.
Well, it is a simple call, but here's the thing. We are flawed. Yeah. So now why are we so quick to criticize unbelievers for their bad behavior? But yet we are really, really reluctant people to actually examine our own sin in our own life, right? And that's where that hypocrisy comes from. So why is that?
Well, first of all, it's not fun. But, you know, and the thing is, when one of my kids was two, my mother was with me, and he was acting out, and, you know, like he was just being naughty. And I said to my mother, it's so exhausting. And she said, yes, it's so hard when they're acting their age. I just stopped and looked at it because two-year-old zacked out. I mean, they just do. Why am I shocked? And I thought that was so funny. I never forgot it. But then in the same way, you know, people without Christ are merely acting out or living out their worldview as humanists. You know, they sin. They're not aware of their sinning. They're taking the Lord's name in vain, even though they don't know him. They're acting out, whatever. But they are simply living as humanists. They don't know Jesus. And they sin because the world supports the way they live. And they don't know any better. It's how they live. And we say, so what's the Christian excuse for living like the world? I mean, that's the deal. And we think of the story in the scriptures about the woman who was caught in the act of adultery by religious leaders. And the scribes and Pharisees brought her to Jesus, you know. And you just get this picture of Jesus, who did not shame her for her sin. But Jesus took the opportunity not to shame her, but to teach the religious leaders, hey, look at your own sin before accusing others. And this is when Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. You know, nobody really knows what that was. But as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to him, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And it's a great lesson for all of us. Because keep in mind that it was the scribes and the Pharisees that initiated the killing of Jesus. And it starts there. And we as Christians, oh my goodness, we just have to understand that people are stuck. They're hurting. They're created in the image of God with the propensity to sin, as are we all. But we, because Christ lives in us, can do something about it. We can choose not to sin. And until they have Jesus in them, that is not going to be for sure. And the Bible teaches us that God is love, and we are Christians should be known by the way we love God and love others. People are going to hate you, but if they want to hate you, make sure it's because you're kind and loving, and for some reason that doesn't draw with them. But whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him, John 4:8-9. So this is the whole thing. If we don't love, we don't know God. So let's understand that the world does not know God, and that we are going to have to just love them in spite of this, with the hope of bringing them the gospel.
You are listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve. It's our biblical worldview question of the week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Worldview Ministry. And we are in the midst of the question, how do we turn off seekers as Christians? What is it about our behaviors and witnesses that can be harmful to those who are seeking Jesus out? Kelly, this has been, it's a mirror, because we've got to confront this, that our behaviors are not always godly. Our motives are not righteous. We do harmful things. But we always have to remember in the back of our mind, our goal is holiness.
Right.
But we are still flawed and broken individuals. And God loves us even in that imperfect state. And he loves those who are seeking him. And we are part of their story.
Right, because we're to love others. Uh-huh. So where we left off, Nancy, when you know we asked a few minutes ago what was the number one thing that people would say turns them off about our behavior as Christians, and you labeled hypocrisy. So we've got to be careful about that. And we wanted to know, what are some practical ways that we can get serious about our witness to others? I mean, obviously, knock off the behavior that people see as hypocritical, but what are some practical things that we can do? We don't want to be seen that way. That's not what we're called to.
We just don't really know how to deal with it. I had a friend by the name of Linda Ubley, and Linda has gone to be with the Lord many, many years ago, but her family still remains, some of them in Indianapolis in the Indiana area. Linda was an amazing, she was a beautiful woman, but also had just a beautiful faith of Christ. And I really liked her. She was a good golfer and fun to be with. And so we played a lot together, and she never crossed that line. She loved, she respected me. She was anything but pushy. And it started to drive me crazy because I knew she was a very solid Christian, but she wasn't saying anything. She wasn't browbeating me. She wasn't, do you want to repeat this prayer? Nothing. It was just kindness and respect and getting to know each other. And we got to know each other's families and this and that and the other. And I always, always, always respected her so much. And then finally, one day I asked her, so what is it about you? And she shared the gospel with me. I didn't accept Christ at that point, but it was the first time that I trusted a Christian. And it was only because she had demonstrated such amazing love and respect and without judgment. And I think that is the key, my friends, when we deal with people. I deal with them all the time. We have people in our own families. By showing respect, honor them. It's like First Peter says, honor all people. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Love those that don't love you. Show respect. And when you do that and honor people, even the worst sinners, they're going to start listening and praying. I mean, learn to pray for them. Pray for people that don't know Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that draws people to Christ anyway. We're just the pawns that God uses. So pray that the Holy Spirit would come into them, that they listen to the Holy Spirit, and that we would listen to the Holy Spirit too and not mess stuff up because we just want to share the gospel with them before God intended that to happen. So again, 1 Timothy 2, scripture, you know, just is so good about guiding us through how we deal with the non-believers. First of all, then I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanks be offered on behalf of all people, even for kings and all who are in authority, that we might lead a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Such prayer for all is good and welcome before God our Savior, since he wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. There you have it. God loves them, and we're to be that way too. And then number three, I think it's a good thought to be a good witness. You know, it's a beautiful act of love to treat somebody with respect and kindness. And you have no idea what goes on in their lives. You have no idea. You might be the first person to say something kind to them in months, you know, or give them a hug. This kind of thing, to treat them with respect and kindness, even though we don't approve of their lifestyle or their sinful choices or their political viewpoints. And forget, we Christians are sinners too. So let's jump off that podium for a minute here, you know, to intentionally love them where they are without judgment, with the hope of someday being able to share the gospel. But in the meantime, we share it by the way we love them. We share it by the way we respect them. We share the gospel by praying for them and by being a good witness. And, you know, we talk about being a light, you know, every day. And Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I think acts and goodness and kindness have to come before our verbiage of sharing the gospel. They have to see Christ in it. That's real. That's not just for a moment, but real day after day. And then they will begin to trust us. I just think there's opportunity out there that we just miss because we're terrified because these are naughty people, so to speak.
Well, there is tremendous opportunity, and Jesus has made that very clear to us that we should be known by our love for one another and not for our hypocritical actions. And that is what we battle against in the culture.
Yeah.
And so this is important. It is vitally relevant in our life. And if you'd like to find out more about Anchors Away Christian Worldview Ministries, well, I want to point you to anchorsaway.org. That's the place where you're going to go. And if you don't have that all written down right now, you can go to kellyandsteve.org under the Resources tab and find all the information out right there. Nancy, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's inspirational to me, too, to dig into some of these questions and stuff that's happening. And it's a check on my soul, too, you know, to if you don't feel like it, it doesn't mean that you're not kind and respectful. You just are in eternity for that person that is disruptive in your life is waiting for them. So we got to think beyond ourselves to them. And that's what makes the Christian life so hard, but so nourishing, so amazing.
Yeah.
That God would use us, you know, that God would use us just in a little way to encourage one another and share that gospel by the way we love.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Nancy. We're going to be checking in with you next week for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week. Again, if you want to find out more, go to anchorsaway.org.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.